Hare Krishna. Since our group is, the groups that we have been divided into is quite large, and the temples and the space here is very, very narrow and small, and then standing there and discussing will be very difficult. Therefore, we will just speak about the different places that you are going to visit, or rather, I'm sure many of you must have visited all these places, but we will just discuss about it just for our understanding, so that now you can go with understanding of what is what. This place, Udupi, has been a very holy place since a long time, but last 800 years it has come much to prominence because of Sripad Madhvacharya's contribution and also the beautiful temple of Sri Krishna that was established by him. So this is the contribution of an acharya. We were discussing yesterday, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur wrote a book on the acharyas of the four sampradaya, and there he discusses the subtle differences, technical differences in the subtleties of the philosophy, but in essence one common ground that is there is they are Vaishnavas. We accept Vishnu as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In fact, Prabhupada gives a very beautiful example. He says, just like in the country there are various political parties, but everyone's interest is how to see for the welfare of the country. Similarly, he said, there are four parties, the four sampradayas, but their interest is the same thing, how to develop devotion to Krishna and bring it to, give this, share this message of the ultimate message of the Vedic scriptures, Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. Two different degrees that people can take, elevate them. So, of course, we understand that all the acharyas eventually are bringing everyone to that same level, but depending upon the situation, the time, the place, the circumstance in which they appear and see the situation, they have a strategy to bring the large number of population together to the ultimate goal. There is a beautiful book called Endless Love, and in this are collections of various articles of His Grace Ravindra Swarup Prabhu, who was one of very senior Prabhupada disciple, a brilliant scholar. He was also the GBC chairman for some time. His articles are compiled there. And one article is called The Strategies for Kali Yuga, for that age of iron. And there he says how when the Vedic Dharma was being abused by the so-called Brahmanas of that time, and they were, in the name of Vedic sacrifices, literally temples had become slaughterhouses. That is the time the Lord Himself appeared as Buddha to give and emphasize a sub-religious principle, ahimsa. So, in the Dashavatara Stotra that we sing this. Okay, regarding Buddha, Nindasi Yagya Vidhe Rahaha Shruti Jatam Sadaya Hridaya Darshita Pashughatam Keshava Dhrita Buddha Sharira Jai Jagadisha Hare. So, Nindasi Yagya Vidhe. In the name of Yagya, animal sacrifices had become extremely prominent at that time. This is about 1300 to 1400 years ago. So, Nindasi Yagya Vidhe, to criticize the so-called performance of Yagya, Shruti Jatam, and where are they coming from? They're coming from the Shrutis. They're coming from the Vedic literatures. So, Sadaya Hridaya, with great compassion, Darshita Pashu Ghatam. And Lord Buddha saw the kind of slaughtering of animals, heartlessly being performed. That is the time, Keshava Dhrita Buddha Sharira. It is just like, suppose there is a main road from one city to another, and on the main road when there is a bridge that is broken or the tree that falls right in the center, and temporarily they make a detour, you know, a bypass. Then the main road comes here, and then you take a small muddy road that is done like this, and then as soon as the obstacle is crossed, then again they connect it to the main road. So similarly, when the main Vedic conclusion was actually disrupted by different motivations of Brahmanas, this is always the problem. When the motives change, then a hidden agenda you want, and therefore you justify your motive based on the scriptures. So that time, Keshava Dhrita Buddha Sharira, so he took a detour. He actually rejected the Vedas, because they were telling him, we are doing on the Vedas. So he said, I reject the Vedas. Prabhupada writes, he cheated them. How he cheated them? Indirectly made everyone worship him, though he didn't talk of soul, he didn't talk of God. But eventually, everyone ended up worshipping him. But he taught a upadharma of ahimsa. Ahimsa, not the ultimate dharma, it's a upadharma. Prabhupada explains, what is himsa? Ma himsyat sarvabhutani, ahimsa paramo dharma. But what is himsa? To stop the progress of a living entity's perfection of, to achieve perfection of life, that is himsa. So, himsa means violence. Violence can become non-violence. And apparent non-violence can become violence. Prabhupada gives two examples. If the high court judge sometimes may hang someone to death, that is violence. Bodily violence. But that is real non-violence. Because he has broken the law, and if he is not punished, next life he has to suffer, and when he is living, others have to suffer. Therefore, punishing that person, even though violence, is actually non-violence. Or somebody has a cancerous tumor, the doctor cannot say, ultimately it's a part of your body. We love every part of the body. Every cell of the body we love, because it's our body. But if some of it has become cancerous, then it has to be removed. Even though it's a part of my body, ruthlessly the surgeon has to cut it off. At that time, to show non-violence and say, no, 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 I don't want to cut. I would rather give up my profession but not cut this cancerous tumor. And that is violence. So on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, Krishna propounded non-violence. because in the social body there was a cancerous tumor of these four people, Duryodhan, Dushasan, Shakuni and Karna. They had become cancer tumor. So Krishna, the supreme surgeon, used Arjuna as a scalpel. Nimitta matra bhava savya sachi. And the operation theater was chosen as Kurukshetra. And using the operation table of Kurukshetra battlefield, Krishna, the supreme surgeon, using the scalpel of Arjuna, removed thoroughly. A good surgeon never removes even a single cell more than necessary. As much as necessary. But he does a thorough job when he does it. And that is actually compassion. That is non-violence. To allow this kind of thing to go on is violence. So, what was emphasized by Buddha of non-violence was a upadharma. It's a very subordinate religious principle. But at that time it was necessary. And for that, because Vedic scripture speaks against it, so therefore he rejected the Vedas. Therefore, even though we accept Buddha as an incarnation of Krishna, we never worship, we never celebrate Buddha Purnima. We never propound it. Because what he spoke, even Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Rishivhir Bahudha Gitam Chandobhir Vividhai Prathak Brahma Sutra Padaischaiva Hetu Madhir Vineshchitai. Even when Krishna speaks the Gita, he says, Rishivhir Bahudha Gitam. I am speaking according to the sadhus. Rishivhir Bahudha Gitam. All the great sages have propounded this. Chandobhir Vividhai Prathak. All the Chanda, all the Upanishads, the Vedas, the Shrutis, Smritis, they all say the same thing. Even when the Lord comes, he sticks to the Vedic literature. If the Lord rejects the Vedas, then we reject him. That's how we don't worship Buddha. So the Vedas are given by the Lord. Krishna says in the Gita, Vedaischa Sarvair Ahameva Vedyo Vedanta Krit Vedavid Eva Chaham. It's very interesting that we accept Buddha, but we don't accept his teachings. Because we understand, it's like a war. When there is a war, some medical etiquettes are broken. If somebody is dying out of a bullet wound, we don't say he has to be taken to the hospital according to the medical rules, medical ethics. Nobody, you can't, you know, catch hold of a fellow in the middle of the street and perform surgery. You have to take him to a hospital, give anesthesia and then do it. But in a battlefield, there is an emergency. By the time you take him to the hospital, he will die. Four people catch hold of him and somebody pulls out the bullet. You can't blame that person. Why didn't you follow medical etiquette, ethics? No, that's an emergency. So Buddha did that. And then, so that was the detour. When the main road broke, the Vedic literature followers, so-called Brahmanas, misused, then the detour was taken. First diversion was taken by Buddha. But then, by the influence of Ashoka, who again, foolishly, after this battle of Kalinga, completely was aghast at seeing the bloodshed. And at that time, he accepted Buddhism. And because he was a powerful emperor, he spread it far all over India and even overseas, nearby neighboring countries. So that Buddhist thing came. That's how people say, the Ayurveda and the Shastra Chikitsa, what do you call it? Shushruta, surgery, etc. All these books were destroyed because they thought it was violence. That was the unfortunate part. We lost the surgical expertise that was existing at that time. All the books were destroyed, all the people as a profession, it was stopped. So then that became very prominent, but that's not the goal of life. Therefore, Lord sent Lord Shiva to do the thankless job of preaching Mayavad. మాయావాదం అసత్శాస్త్రం ప్రచ్ఛన్నం బౌద్ధమేవవా మయైవ కల్పితం దేవి కలౌ బ్రాహ్మణ రూపిణ. లార్డ్ శివ టెల్స్ పార్వతి, ఐఎమ్ గోయింగ్ టు కమ్ ఇన్ కలియుగ ఇన్ ద ఫార్మ్ ఆఫ్ బ్రాహ్మణ. మాయావాదం అసత్శాస్త్రం, ఇట్ విల్ బి అసత్శాస్త్రం, ఇట్స్ నాట్ ద అల్టిమేట్ కన్క్లూజన్. ప్రచ్ఛన్నం బౌద్ధమేవ, ఇట్ ఈస్ కవర్డ్ బుద్ధిజం. ఇన్ బుద్ధిజం దే టాక్ ఆఫ్ నిర్వాణ, శూన్యవాద్, ఎవ్రీథింగ్ ఈజ్ వాయిడ్. సో వాట్ యూ పీపుల్ కాల్ వాయిడ్ ఈజ్ ద నిర్విశేష బ్రహ్మ. ఇట్ ఈస్ నిర్గుణ నిరాకార నిర్విశేష సర్వవ్యాపి బ్రహ్మ. దాట్ వాజ్ ద కాంట్రిబ్యూషన్ ఆఫ్ శంకర. శంకరాచార్య కిక్డ్ అవుట్ బుద్ధిజం ఫ్రమ్ ఇండియా, ఫ్రమ్ బద్రీనాథ్ టు కన్యాకుమారి, ఫ్రమ్ జగన్నాథ్పురి టు ద్వారకా. హీ ఎస్టాబ్లిష్ ఫ్రమ్ దేర్ పీపుల్, యూనో దీస్ ఫోర్ ప్లేసెస్ హీ ఎస్టాబ్లిష్. శృంగేరి ఆల్సో వన్ ఆఫ్ ది ప్లేసెస్. సో దట్ వాజ్ హీస్ కాంట్రిబ్యూషన్. హీ బ్రాట్ ఇట్ ఇస్ జస్ట్ లైక్ అ డైవర్షన్, హీ బ్రాట్ ఇట్ ప్యారలల్. Parallel, at least he brought them faith in the Vedas. People started accepting Vedic literature. But then, impersonalism became very, very prominent. Shankara, in 32 years, amazing thing about these powerful acharyas, what an influence. He lived for only 32 years. Not 32 years of preaching, only 32 years. On this planet, and still the effect is not going, because people also like to have it. Prabhupada explains, you know, in Bhagavad Gita, all these philosophies are always existing. All these philosophies always exist. Perversion of philosophy. Depending upon the environment, one philosophy becomes prominent and called by the founder's name. But nothing is new here. It's just like in this place, if you keep on throwing all the dust or all the garbage from every, this will become a garbage. Crows will gather here. But if you clean up this place and make a temple, birds will gather. A nice garden is made and fruit, flower, they will gather. Birds will come, butterflies will come. So depending upon the environment, a particular philosophy sprouts, favorable condition is created. But these acharyas create a powerful influence. So he did that, but then that had become prominent. And unfortunately, during that time, the Mughal attack, etc., that also was destroying Vedic culture fully. And that time, Ramanujacharya came, 1100 years ago. His heart pained to hear, especially, you know, when he was serving his guru. His guru was giving commentary on the Upanishads. Kapyasam Pundarikaksham. Ramanujacharya, he was massaging his guru, and guru was speaking about, he was teaching Vedas. And he was quoting a Upanishad Vakya. Kapyasam Pundarikaksham. The Lord's eyes are Kapyasam. So what is the commentary he gave? Who was influenced by Mayavad, his guru, Ramanujacharya's guru. He gave Kapi. Kapi means monkey. And Asam means the back portion of a monkey. I don't know whether the word ass came from English to this from here. So Kapyasam. So he said the eyes of the Lord are like the back, red like the back portion of a monkey. If you've seen, you know, Vrindavan, you see, the monkeys have a back which is red in color. Suddenly, hot teardrops dropped on his guru's shoulder and he looked up. Ramanuja was in tears. He just couldn't tolerate to hear his worshipable Lord's eyes being compared to the back of a monkey. And then he gave a profound understanding that it is like the lotus which is growing, which is the friend of the sun, which grows, taking shelter of that sun from the water. The guru became very upset. Eventually, of course, his guru surrendered to him and took initiation from him. He was not an ordinary disciple, Ramanuja. So Ramanujacharya traveled all over. All these great acharyas traveled all over India. And that time, the glory was you defeat by argument, and that person, they have to accept if they are defeated. He gathered followers. Can you imagine? 1100 years down the line, still it is so prominently going on all of many places in India. Very prominent. Tirupati, Melukote, all these South Indian temples. The worship established by Ramanujacharya is still prominent. But he established Vishishta Advaita. Yes, it is Bheda. I mean, there is a Bheda. Everything is one. But still, just like an ocean and the waves. The wave is an ocean and still not the ocean. So it is subtle difference. He accommodated it like that. And in this way, he removed the influence of Mayavad and introduced Vishishta Advaita, one and different. Then came Madhva, 800 years back, around 1200 AD. And his contribution to this was bringing it closer to the main road. From a parallel, he gave a detour, and now it is bringing it closer. And that was Dvaita. Clear-cut difference. They can't. One thing that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took from this is defeat of Mayavad. The pleasure that the Tattvavadis take is in defeating Mayavad. 50% of their effort is to defeat Mayavad. So they are very strong, or two. And Madhvacharya is sitting with these two fingers raised up. And these two fingers are not those two fingers too short. Damodar Leela. This is two. Everything is two. Nothing is same. Bheda, Bheda. There are two kinds of Vakyas in the scripture. Bheda Vakya and Abheda Vakya. Abheda means nothing, everything is one. Yes. And everything is different. Ishvara is different from Jiva. Jiva is different from Jada. Jada is different from another aspect of Jada. Water cannot mix with fire. Fire cannot mix with ether. Ether cannot mix. They can't mix. Only Krishna as Paramatma can sit and mix everything together. Otherwise, can you imagine this body? Water, fire, air, everything mixing together. I'll give you a bowl of all these five elements, put it together and make a gola, laddu, whatever. Impossible. Only Krishna can do that. So Abheda means everything is the common aspect, the unifying principle. And Bheda means the differentiating principle. So the acharyas, according to the situation, emphasize a particular aspect, whatever is needed at that time. So at that time, Bheda was not at all understood. Bheda was established by Madhvacharya, Dvaita. And he was known for two things. One is his physical culture, powerfully, Bhima basically. Hanuman, one expansion is Bhima, and the third expansion is Madhvacharya. One time he ate, you know, there's a full story, maybe I'm sure Maharaj will be speaking about that. And the second is debating. Voracious debater. He traveled all over India, defeating all these people and eventually connecting them, inspiring them to this philosophy. So this was his contribution, Madhvacharya's contribution, Dvaitavad. And then came 500 years later, taking initiation in the same sampradaya, Lord Chaitanya, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna himself, came, and he took like a saragrahi. Krishna is saragrahi. A Vaishnava is also saragrahi. Mahaprabhu took the essence of these four sampradayas. From Madhvacharya, this sampradaya, he took two powerful principles. Very prominent. Number one, defeating Mayavad. Mayavad bhashya sunile hoye sarvanash. very strongly Prakashananda Saraswati, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Tarkika. These conversations Mahaprabhu defeated systematically. So from this sampradaya, he took two principles. First is defeat of Mayavad, and secondly, deity worship. Such prominence was given. Can you imagine? Only the topmost acharya or his assistant, the next acharya who is in line, is supposed to do the deity worship. No one else can touch the deity. Since 800 years, it is so perfectly being maintained because the topmost person is doing this. And naturally, that is the prominent feature. Since 800 years, it's going on. Not a day's break. These head of the 8 mathas, they do it for 2 years each. Personally, they do it. 16 worships a day. Deity worship is very, very prominent here. Krishna is practically the center of this city of Udupi. So these two principles. And if you see, ISKCON is known for its deity worship. People are attracted to the deities. This is Mahaprabhu's principle. Emphasizing on deity worship from and the Mayavad defeat of Madhvacharya. And from Sri Sampradaya of Ramanujacharya, he took again two principles. First is pure devotional service without mishra or mixture of karma and jnana. Anya bhilashita shunyam, jnana karmadi anavratam. This principle of pure devotional service without tinge of karma and jnana was taken by Sri Sampradaya, taken from Sri Sampradaya by Mahaprabhu. And the second principle he took is Vaishnava Seva. In Sri Sampradaya, they gave great emphasis to being the servant of the servant of the servant. Gopi Bhartur Padakamalayor Das Dasanudas. This principle was taken by Mahaprabhu from Sri Sampradaya. Taken means, of course, he is the Supreme Lord, he knows. But he saw this prominent thing and he put this. From the Vishnu Swami Sampradaya, he took exclusive surrender to Krishna. And the second principle that he took from Vishnu Swami Sampradaya was the Raga Marga, the path of spontaneous devotion. This was taken from Vishnu Swami Sampradaya. And from the Nimbarka Sampradaya, he took two principles. Worship of, taking shelter of Srimati Radharani and the highest state of worship of the gopis being the highest and accepting that mode. These two, Ramya Kachidupasana Vrajavadhu Vargenaya Kalpita. This principle he took from Nimbarka Sampradaya. So we see Lord Chaitanya being the Supreme Lord himself. This is like the culmination of all the sampradaya, the best of each. The best practices, as in the corporate world they say, best practices of each is taken and then included. Mahaprabhu has taken the best practices of all the sampradayas. How fortunate we are. And that in a very, very accessible way is given by Prabhupada. We heard from Srinathji Prabhu how ferocious he was when it came to defeating Mayavad. How much he emphasized deity worship. And we see all the ISKCON temples. One thing when people are attracted, are the deities. That book that is there, Darshan. Darshan and Krishna vision. Beautiful deities, deity worship. The standard of deity worship that's going on. And servant of the servant. Of course, we need to go a long way to do that. And all this principle of pure devotional service, etc. So this is the emphasis here. And this was the contribution of Madhvacharya here. Anyway, now we'll come to the main part. Now you'll be going from here. So this place is called, this whole section from the Sahyadri Mountains to the sea, Arabian Sea, this whole section throughout from Gokarna towards Kanyakumari. This is called Parshuram Kshetra. Because as we read in Srimad Bhagavatam, Parshuram, another incarnation, his job was to remove the so-called Kshatriyas who had become extremely proud, who thought that we don't need to care for this Brahmana. What do they care? What do they have to offer? Kartavirya Arjuna offended or killed actually his father, Jamadagni, Parshuram's father. And that was the time Parshuram took a vow to annihilate the Kshatriyas from this planet. And 21 times he traveled all over. And as soon as he heard any Kshatriya, Kshatriyas were actually scared of him. He had taken a vow, of course, scared of him, but they would fight because that was Kshatriya spirit. Do or die. And everyone died. Nobody could do, so everyone had to die. Few survived. Maharaj Dasharath survived. How did he survive? Parshuram had made two concessions. I will not kill two kind of Kshatriyas. Those who are getting married, if they are sitting, you know, marriage is going on, then I will not kill those Kshatriyas. And if someone hides behind the women, Nari Kavacha, hiding behind their frocks, then I will, he's not a Kshatriya, I won't care about. So there is one ancestor of Dasharatha Maharaj, his name was Nari Kavacha. Anytime he would come, Parshuram would come, news would come, Parshuram, the wind, the storm would understand Parshuram is coming. Immediately he would call all the women and sit under, behind them, covered by. So he was spared. And Maharaj Dasharath, whenever he heard Parshuram is coming, whichever woman was talking, immediately called and sat down and got married. So as Parshuram was coming, he was tying the Mangal Sutra. So Parshuram said, okay, this time I'll leave. That's how he had 350 wives. So many times Parshuram attacked. Other than the principal queens. So somehow they survived. Otherwise, Parshuram made sure, even in Mahabharata, when Yudhishthira is supposed to perform Rajasuya, then Krishna is called and Krishna says, actually there are no Kshatriyas in this world today. Whatever is some so-called remaining, they are all mixed people. And only about 21 or 101 families are surviving. This was in Dwapar end. 101 families are surviving. And they are also caught by Jarasandha and imprisoned. He said, practically now it is gone. So Jarasandha you have to kill. That time he says this, how Kshatriyas annihilated. And through Brahmanas, through Niyoga Paddhati, the next generation came about. So in this way, after he killed the whole Kshatriyas, in Samanta Panchaka, he performed a last rites for his father. And then he performed a yajna and gave the whole land as prashchitta, gave the whole earthly planet to the Brahmanas. Completely. And then he said, now what do? I have given the land, not even a drop on the head of a pin. He didn't have anything. And he didn't want to live on the borrowed, you know, already land that is given in charity. So he came, stood on the Sahyadri mountain and requested Varunadev, I'm going to do like Bandra reclamation. In Bombay, you have Bandra reclamation. So I'm going to reclaim the land for myself. So he said, I'm going to throw my parsa. Somebody said they want to shoot an arrow. He said, wherever I shoot into the ocean, you should withdraw to that place. And then actually he threw it and the whole land that came, that is called as Parshuram Kshetra. Even if you go to wherever Madan Gopal is preaching, what is that place? Ratnagiri and Chiploon, there is a huge, beautiful Parshuram temple there. And it said every night he comes to take rest there. They set up the bed. Early morning it is, the cloth is disturbed there. He comes and takes rest there. So Chiploon, there is a big temple of Parshuram. So This whole area is called as Parshuram Kshetra. And one of his followers called King Ramabhoja, he was performing a yagya, Ashwamedh yagya, in this spot, in Udupi. And that was the time, as you may have read in that book, while plowing the field, he killed a snake. Now, Sarpahatya, a very big sin. So he was very upset. Parshuram told him, don't worry. He was a demon actually. He came in the form of serpent. But still, I have killed and therefore I should do something. Just like gopis told Krishna, you killed a bull, a cow. Ah, bull. He was Arishtasura. Whatever it is, he came in the form of bull. You have to do prayaschitta. And that's how Radhakund and Shyamakund came about. Thanks to gopis. For prayaschitta. So in this way, he said, no, whatever, I have killed a snake. He says, all right, you establish a silver pitha with four serpents in the four corners and you worship that. And in due course, I will also manifest. So it was established that if you see the Ananteshwara temple, have you all visited Ananteshwara temple? Yeah, darshan is little, it's deep inside. The temple next to Krishna temple, that is Ananteshwara temple. So that was established during Treta Yuga, during the time of Parshuram. That's the first temple that came there. And then that worship was going on, but the pedestal was empty. But then Parshuram had promised. So sometime later, there's a place called Vedaranya, right now where Manipal is. That was called Vedaranya at that time. There was a Brahmana and who wanted a son, and the Lord appeared in his dream and told him, you go to, it is called Rajata Pitha. Pitha means asan, a pedestal, and Rajata means gold. So Rajata Pitha Pura. In fact, Udupi in the Puranas are called as Rajata Pitha Pura or Raupya Pitha Pura. So there, he said, you go there and do Abhishek on that pitha and I will manifest there. So this person came and offered the worship and Parshuramji manifested there in the form of a linga. How did he manifest in the form of a linga? If you see, that's like a shivlinga. So that is described, the story behind that is, when Lord Parshuram appeared, then he learnt the art of weaponry from Shiva, Paramashiva. So Lord Shiva taught him. Of course, this is his pastime. So he learnt it and after that he said, what can I give as Guru Dakshina? So Lord Shiva said, I should be worshipped along with you. The Lord said, all right, I'll fulfill this desire. And to fulfill that, he appeared as Shiva, but he is worshipped as also Vishnu. So, after Madhvacharya, there was a Vyasatirtha, who's like the second Madhvacharya. He's considered Bhavi Samira. Bhavi means future Samira, Vayudev. He was the one who made big changes in Madhva's way of administration. Powerful, one change, big change was made by him to make it, you know, like reviving it. Because the Paryaya was going for only 2 months. Once in 2 months, the Swamis would change. He made it into 2 years. Once in 2 years. So anyway, the Lord appeared there in the form of a linga. Since that time, he's being worshipped like that. And here people believe that the antaryami or the heart of that linga is Vishnu. Therefore, he's called Anantasana or Ananta Padmanabha, Ananta Shesha, Ananta Shai. Different names that are given. Ananta, Ananteshwara, sorry, Ananta Ishwara. So he's the Lord of Ananta. There's so many understanding is there. So that temple is where, that was the first temple existing since the time of Treta Yuga. So this place was called Rajata Pitha Pura. Then it is described that Once the moon god Soma was cursed by Daksha Prajapati, and to remove that curse, he came into this place called Abjaranya, and that's also nearby. He performed austerities to remove his curse, and right in front of Ananteshwara temple, the Pushkarini, it's called Ananta Pushkarini. Now you see this, on this side you see the little body of water in front of Krishna temple that was extending till that in front of Ananta temple also. And from there Lord Shiva appeared, and therefore he was called Chandra Maulishwara. Chandra means moon, Mauli means the decoration on the head or the crest on the head. So Chandra Maulishwara, and that part of that Pushkarini was dried up specifically and, you know, reclaimed. To if you see the Chandra Maulishwara temple, it's actually below ground level. You have to get down and go. It's below. It was actually a Pushkarini, extension of this Pushkarini. So there Chandra Maulishwara was established, and that is the second thing. So these were existing since very, very long time. And then 800 years ago, when Madhvacharya came, after he took sannyas, after he established, everything was very nicely established. His preaching was done, he gathered disciples from all over. But in his heart, he had a deep desire to worship the Lord elaborately. So one day, some people say they saw it in a dream, and then he actually started walking towards the seashore with a full understanding that the Lord is going to appear in some form. So he went, and he was along with his disciples, he went there, and as he was going there, a huge ship got stuck there. And then it got stuck there, and it was like a storm, and it got caught, and it was about to drown. And that fellow was helpless. This ship was coming from Dwarka to going towards the southern side for, you know, business. So that was got stuck, and he was waving for help. And at that time, Madhvacharya took out his saffron cloth, and he waved it and stopped the storm and guided the ship back to safety. And then the man was very obliged, and he said, "I want to give you anything in the ship you can take." He said, "Yeah, you please give me that Gopi Chandan that you have brought from Dwarka." And he brought a huge lump simply to balance the ship. You know, one side it was heavy, so just to balance it. So that was brought, and as soon as it was brought and kept on the shore, it just broke open. And from that, it is said that two deities came out. One was Udupi Krishna, and another one was, where we'll probably go tomorrow or day after, and that is the Vadabhandeshwara temple, Balaramji. And that Balaramji temple wouldn't move from that place. So he was established there itself. He expressed no understanding that that was his desire. Balaramji's temple is established there. And 30 people could not lift this Krishna deity. Ultimately, Madhvacharya himself alone lifted it on his shoulder, and singing loudly, his compositions are still sung every day for the pleasure of the Lord. And he was singing, and then he brought it and first washed it in that Pushkarini, Chandra Pushkarini or Ananta Pushkarini, but now it is called Madhva Sarovar. It was the Ananta Pushkarini before. After Chandra did tapasya, it's called Chandra Pushkarini, and now it's called Madhva Sarovar. He bathed the deities there first and established it facing the Ananteshwara temple, facing the Chandra Maulishwara temple. This was the original position where Madhvacharya had placed Krishna, and the worship would go on. But it is described that one time Kanakadasa, a very, very exalted devotee of the Lord, but who was born in a very kind of a lower family, he had come here. And at that time the situation was, they were not allowed. Certain people were not allowed. And so he was sitting just to the left of Ananteshwara temple. And he was praying. And he had a deep desire to actually see the Lord. And it is described the Lord turned. The wall of the temple broke and the outer wall also broke. With a rumbling sound, it just broke. And a clear vision, the Lord gave darshan. And since that time, the worship also goes on through that window. It is called Navagraha Kindi. And outside one is called Kanakana Kindi. Kindi means a small window-like structure. And Kanaka is Kanakadas. And they have made a beautiful vigraha of form of Kanakadasa on the other side. Through which he had the darshan. So even today, the main sannyasi, once they take up the worship, accept the worship, first they go to Chandramaulishwara, then Ananteshwara. And while coming, they have darshan through this Kanakana Kindi, then they go inside to begin their worship for 2 years. So this is another prominent place, that Kanakana Kindi, and actually you should have darshan through that. That's like important darshan, of seeing it through that outside one. That's called Kanakana Kindi. So this is about the Krishna temple. And in the Ananteshwara temple, as you enter the temple and take a parikrama, as soon as you turn right, there is a window through which you can see the place where Madhvacharya used to sit and do the, before even Krishna temple was established, he would have debates there with all the Mayavadis and others. So that place is still there where he would sit. And even after establishment of Krishna temple, he would sit there to give talks. And one day, as he was speaking on Aitreya Upanishad, he was telling, and he just disappeared. And his shawl just fell to the ground. And he said, I will always be here in an invisible form, but invisibly I will be upper Badri with Vyasadev. So it is believed that even today Madhvacharya is there in the upper Badri with Vyasadev while he is in an invisible form there, here on that particular pitha where he would sit. That was his place from where he disappeared, and that's place where he would speak regularly. One time, one of the acharyas decided to have a beautiful murti of Madhvacharya made to be established there. But when everything was made and about to be established, Madhvacharya came in the dream and chastised him. He said, are you putting stone on my head? He said, I am sitting there. Why are you putting this murti of mine on my head? So therefore it is no more, it's empty there. It's still believed that he actually is seated there. So you can have, if you have the eyes, Prema Anjana Churita Bhakti Viloja, you can see Madhvacharya sitting there and still propounding strongly his philosophy. That is it. And then you can go around this place. So these are some of the places when... actually, this itself contains most of Ananteshwara, Chandramaulishwara we discussed. How Krishna... One just interesting. Many years ago, Pejavar Swami had come to our temple. And he made a very interesting point. He said, he showed the saffron color of his and he said, this is the hope for the world. That is the message. Or renunciation, he said, this is the hope for the world. And he gave a very wonderful analogy that how Madhva used that saffron to wave and waved, helped the ship to be saved. And then the Gopichandan ball came, and from which came Krishna. So he was telling, similarly, the ship represents all the conditioned souls in the ocean of Bhavasagara. And the great acharyas come, and through there, that saffron represents the message of Lord Krishna. They save the drowning ship from the ocean of birth and death, bring them on the shore, and reveal in their heart Lord Krishna, who is seated within. He made a very interesting point. So this is what this Acharya's contribution is. Through establishing Krishna, he is saving the conditioned souls from the ocean of birth and death and revealing the Lord is within you. Why don't you worship? Why don't you realize, have sambandha and develop prema? Nitya Siddha Krishna Prem Sadhya Kabunai Shravanadi Shuddha Chitte Karayuda. So this process of Navada Bhakti that is taught by these Acharyas is to help us, save us from the ocean and to make us realize that the Lord is within and help us establish a relation of loving service. How the DT came. Then Kanakana Kindi, we already discussed that. Madhva Sarovar, it is said once in 12 years, it's a big feast, big festival held. There, Ganga comes there, just like in Allahabad, you know. Once in so many years, it becomes actually, you know, people take bath there. Similarly, even here, once in 12 years, this happens. It's a big festival at that time. Then inside the temple, you have the Garbhagudi, the altar. Inside you can see the worship goes on. Beautiful worship every day. Actually, if you go early in the morning, you can see, especially when they bathe the Lord, when he has no clothes, he's called Vishwarup Darshan. To that deity, when they bathe with milk and curd, you can see the features very prominently. Can you imagine being worshipped? And this deity, how did it come? One time Devaki was feeling that I gave you birth, but I never saw your childhood pastimes. I miss it. You came when you were 12-year-old. Bada ho gaya. I didn't see your childhood pastime. I missed it. So Krishna actually became a little baby and he was playing around. So Devaki wanted to churn the butter for him. At that time he grabbed the stick and also the rope from her hand and he was standing there. And Devaki was enchanted by this form. And at that time the Lord disappeared. Became normal. But when this was happening, Rukmini happened to see this. And she was so much enchanted by this form. She said, my Lord, this form with a kadagolu. Kadagolu means this churning rod. And a rope in his left hand and a stick in his right hand. That is the beautiful picture of Krishna. So, you can see this. We want to see this. I want to worship this for the rest of my life. So Krishna manifested this deity for her. So this was worshipped by Rukmini Devi. And when Krishna performed his pastime and left this world, when Arjuna was bringing all the queens, he put it in a place called Rukmini One. And that covered by God clay in that Gopi Talav. And from there, when the clay was brought, it was revealed here. So this is personally worshipped by Rukmini Devi and manifested by the Lord. That is the significance of this particular. Then, this Bhojana Sthali, it is also called Anna Kshetra, Anna Brahma Kshetra. It is known for free food for life. So that is also in Sampradaya or Parampara. IFRF is called Food Relief Fund. Here, every day, twice, invariably, anyone who comes, they give food freely. Rice and dal and some sabji. So when last time, many times we would come, one time we would skip everything and go there and eat. That's very nice actually. Sometimes you can try that. Profusely they serve. Never scarcity of food here. Annapurneshwari is very merciful here. And it is said, today they can go if you want, Sri Chaitanya Prabhu is saying. Actually, it is said, there is the Akshay Patra, that is in this place. When Madhvacharya went to Kurukshetra, he took out, actually he dug and took out his gada, where he had put it, and he showed it to his disciples, put it back and covered it. Madhvacharya showed as Bhima, what gada he had used, he showed. But the Akshay Patra was brought from there. And that Patra is still there, that is worshipped in one of the, I think inside they keep it. There is one ladle and a Patra. It's Akshay Patra, that is believed to be the same Patra in which Draupadi would cook. So that is there here. Then there is a Subramanya temple next to, just behind, in front of Vasanta Mantap. And that is said that Vyasa Tirtha was given, Vyasaraya Tirtha was given a lot of Vadiraj was given a lot. I mean, I think you should be telling this. He's our Dham. He can tell wonderful stories. I'll just tell you one more thing. I think Prabhuji can give you a quick and crisp introduction. One very interesting thing that I would like to tell, which is not a part of this, that you will hear from him, is once there are Ashtamatha, Madhvacharya chose 8 of his sannyasi disciples. No one else is given sannyas, only those 8 and then the next 8. Of course, then there are the sub-mathas, Uttaradi Matha, etc. There also sannyasis are there. But otherwise, he gave to this end, and he gave them deities and gave them seva of serving these for 2 years. And for the next, I mean, it goes rotation. So after 14 years, every 2 years they get. So once in 16 years, they get to serve the Lord personally for 2 years. That's called pariyaya. Pariyaya means their time. And rest of the time, they have to travel and preach, collect funds, etc. And these 2 years exclusive, they will have no time for anything else. 16 worships every day. Morning practically 2 a.m. to night goes on till 9:38. They're busy. And so many festivals. Personally, they have to carry. No one can touch the deities. So all deity worship is done by them only. 2 years. So rest of the time, and during those 2 years, they take up some project that we will do this, we will do this. Some big project, and they put their full emphasis on that. One of them decided to build the Gita Bhavan during his pariyaya. One Swamiji decided to give the Lord a diamond crown costing some 2 crores or something. And another decided to give different darshan every week or something. Different darshan of Lord Udupi. Sometimes as Lakshmi Devi, sometimes as Parshuram, sometimes as this, sometimes as that. Like we do our Gopalji in Radha Gopinath Mandir. All the different darshan, Tirupati Balaji. So they do this and beautiful. It looks exactly like that. So one time when they wanted to do crown made of solid diamond, costing about 2 crores something. Somebody asked Pejavar Swami, why you are spending so much money on this? Can't you feed the poor, sick and the naked? What is the point in doing so much? You know, does Krishna ever say this? Put this crown on my head. And Pejavar Swami, very in his witty and very loving way, by the way, Pejavar Swami is the most loved person in whole of Udupi, next only to Krishna and Madhvacharya. Currently, he is the most popular, senior most person, and first time, I think, in the whole Madhva Sampradaya, a person coming to worship Pariyaya for the 5th time. You can't be worshipping without being a sannyasi, and the Pariyaya comes only once in 16 years. 2016, he will be the first person to be doing it for the fifth time. He's 82 or something now. And at the age of 7 or 8, he took sannyas. He used to be playing with the other children as a sannyasi. And when other sannyasi come, he would shyly run away into the house. He has written a small biography of his, how he was so scared of all the sannyasis, as a sannyasi also. Very sweet. And so he was telling, in a sweet way, he replied, he said, they're big, big rich people. For their toilet and bathroom, they put nice marble and spend lakhs of rupees. And you don't have any objection. And the Supreme Personality of Godhead, if you water the root of the tree, every part of the tree is nourished. What is this 2 crore? This is nothing, 2 penny for Krishna. And this is what we are offering. Why are you burning? That was his reply to. And then they became silent. Anyway, they offer wonderful services. Anyway, they also, if you see near the Bhojan Shala, there is a structure of a chariot in wood. That's like they store it for the next. The one that is stored by the previous one is used for this whole paryaya, for cooking that wood. And then before they leave, they have to put the chariot together back. You know, in the form of a chariot, that wood, if you have seen next to the Madhva Sarovar, that is in the form of a chariot. It's a beautifully, even a very aesthetic sense, loading your fuel is, you know, put it in a very beautiful form. So these are a few things I just thought I will share. And now for a condensed sweet rice explanation, Sri Chaitanya Prabhu will take his AK-47 and give you quick dose of all these places. And he's going to lead you along with Sundarsham Prabhu and Hare Krishna Prabhu. Jai Shripad Madhvacharya ki, Shri Udupi Krishna ki, Nithai Gaur Premanandi. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. So we'll start our Udupi Yatra. So from here, the temple is around 1.4 kilometers. It will take around 30 minutes. It is a straight walk. And who cannot walk, they can come by rickshaw. So first place we are visiting is Chandramouleshwara Temple. If you are coming by rickshaw, then you can come to directly to Chandramouleshwara Temple. So why Chandramouleshwara Temple first? Because this place is called as Udupi. This place, Udupi, the name, it came from that temple, Chandramouleshwara. Because Udu means stars, and Pa means king. Udupa, that is the king of the stars, that is moon. As Prabhuji told, the Chandra, the moon god, he was cursed. And he came here and he worshipped this Mauleshwar temple, that is Shivji temple, and he got out of this curse. So therefore, that place is called as Chandra Mauleshwar. And the same place, now this is called as Udupa or Udupi. So first we'll go and we'll have darshan of Chandramouleshwara. So that is the first temple over here. Then next is Ananteshwara temple. So this Ananteshwara temple, this is the place which is the cause of appearance and disappearance of Madhvacharya. Because Madhvacharya's father, Madhyageya Bhat, their place will go on the day after tomorrow, Pajaka Kshetra. So their family deity is also Ananta Padmanam. The same deity is there. But they used to come over here, Ananteshwara. So by his mercy, they got Madhvacharya. And as Prabhuji explained, Madhvacharya also disappeared from that place only. So we'll have darshan of that place. And then we'll come out, then we'll have this Kanaka Gopura. And in that Kanaka Gopura, there is a Kanakana Kindi, that is the window of Kanakadas. From that we can see just a glimpse of the altar of the Lord Krishna. And after that, we'll come to Madhva Sarovar. From outside only we can have the darshan. And then we'll enter inside the temple complex And there are different devotees who are just holding their play card with the names, and you can just see the places, and for details you can read the booklet which has given to you. And after visiting the various places in the Krishna temple, then you are free to go. And regarding tomorrow's program, tomorrow we are going to Malpe beach, that is Vadabhandeshwar. Vadabhandeshwar is Balram, as Prabhuji told that from Gopichandan, Madhvacharya got two deities. One is Krishna, that is installed here, and Vadabhandeshwar, that is Balramji, so that is installed over there. So Bhanda means container. So this is the container of the Gopichandan. In Kannada, Vada means break. Because that break, that container broke there, so therefore Balramji at that place, therefore that place is called as Vadabhandeshwar, and the deity was Balram, so that we will take darshan tomorrow. And we may take ocean bath also, so you can bring your bathing paraphernalia. So buses will be from 1 kilometer from here. So tomorrow, as soon as you come over here, you take breakfast and then come to the place where the buses are parked. From there, we'll go to Vadabhandeshwar. Then we'll have a darshan over there. And His Holiness Chandramouli Swami Maharaj, he is going to give discourse over there. Hare Krishna. So you are just assembled near the gate, then we will start our parikrama. Hare Krishna. Yeah.
Just one thing. One is called Vrindavana. Just behind, after you come out of the temple, that Subramanya temple is there. Near that is Goshala. Then there is one elephant also, which is used for the parikrama. I mean, taking the Lord for Utsavs. Behind, at least 43 of the previous acharyas, very, very powerful acharyas, their samadhi is there. Just like we have in Vrindavan 64 samadhi, there are 43 samadhis. That is called as Vrindavana. And there is a special tree, Ashwatha tree. So when people go, they take a parikrama of that Vrindavan. Generally, the acharya also does it. People here do that. And you can go inside, and it's a very nice place. Sometimes in the morning, if you have time, you can sit there and chant. These are all great devotees of the Lord who are practically born sannyasis, served very faithfully, and we can, a lot of potency is there, we can pray. That's also a nice part there. Hare Krishna.